Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker, author of Confessions of a Movie Addict, right here at www.blogtalkradio.com.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. That's right, Dorothy. This is Movie Addict Headquarters. You don't have to be a movie addict to visit here, but if you are one, it's definitely the place for you. I'm your host, Betty Jo Tucker, and today we're in for a treat because Mad Movie Man, A.J. Hockery, has agreed to join us again. He'll be talking about the best and worst DVDs released this month. I can't wait to hear which ones he'll be ranting or raving about. But I can assure you of one thing, AJ and I will probably disagree on some of his choices. And also, we're inviting listeners to call in with their comments and recommendations. So here's the call-in number, 646-478-5668. That's 646-478-5668. I'm also glad that my producer extraordinaire, Nikki Starr, is here to help with the show, even though she's busier than usual. Nikki, will you please tell our listeners about your terrific Nikki Rocks the Politics show this morning? I am still thinking about it and raving about it to everyone.
Thank you. It'd be my pleasure. I am the luckiest co-host on Blog Talk Radio. I have, if you haven't listened to Nikki Rocks of Politics, it's not your normal political show at all.
No,
we
not
have
at all.
We have such an eclectic group, and 2 days a week on Mondays and Wednesdays, I have a very liberal co-host. His name is Sean O'Mac. And then Mondays and Wednesdays, and then on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I have Media Lizzie, and she is very conservative. Well, today, for the very first time ever, I had them both on the air with me because Sean is covering the DNC, and it was very exciting. And next week, Lizzie's going to be going to the GOP convention. So we get live, just breaking news from both of them, and it was just such a beautiful show, the epitome of nonpartisanship this morning. And everybody just got along awesome, and we heard just inside stories from the Democratic National Convention and just everybody's take in just a real human way, not a politician's way, but
it was a marvelous show, Nikki, and people in the chat room, they were having such a great time, too, and you know, some of us were liberals, some of us were conservatives,
uh-huh.
some of us Republicans, some of
rockers
us
rockers,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so I just congratulate
awesome.
You so much on
Thank
that
you.
Show. You know, I never miss one of your morning shows.
That's how I
keep up
supporter.
With what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's
mm-hmm.
happening in the world of politics, and I love your Friday show, which is
non-political.
Why don't you tell some of our listeners who might not know what you have on Friday instead of the politics?
Well, that's right. On Fridays, we turn all the politics off. And every other week, I interview a band, usually, you know, different types of music, all different genres. But we play, and if when I don't have a band, then I have a guest co-host sometimes, which Betty Jo has co-hosted with me. And we pick a certain genre of music, or we just play music. We've had polka politics. It was awesome. And then we play what's called the picture game. And I've taught everybody how to change their picture and come back in and refresh. It was actually a game that my really good friend Haytom invented, and we just have a great time. So on Fridays, sometimes during the week, I have to keep the peace between my liberals and my conservative friends and my dirty rocker boys. And so Fridays, we just relax and have a great time. And really, it's just a very, very. It's just not normal politics. I can't really say that enough. That it's just not normal politics. It's really. You know, my co-hosts are brilliant, and
well,
I ask the right questions.
you just do such a great job, and it's actually politics a la Nikki.
I think you're probably right.
But hey, we better get back to movies now.
Yes. Thank you so much. I appreciate
and,
it.
Well, thank you for
filling
us in. And AJ is here. I want to welcome him. Hi, Mad Movie Man.
Hello. How are you, Betty Jo?
Well, I'm just fine. I'm so happy that you're here. You know how much Nikki and I love having you on the show.
Yes.
What have you been up to since your last visit? I think it was back in July when we talked about the summer blockbuster movies.
Well, a lot has been going on. I'm about to head back to school at River Falls next week and a couple
weeks after. Will you be doing your Mad Movie Man show?
Yep, Ken Wigand and I are going to be coming back for one last semester. It's my last semester at school, and after that, he's going to be taking over the show.
Oh, I can't believe you're. Are you graduating?
Yep, I'm graduating this winter.
Oh, I can't believe it, but that's great. But now, besides your show, you have some other new gigs, right?
Yeah, I do. I just started contributing to Volume 1. It's this alternative newspaper stationed in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. That's centered mostly on area culture and arts and entertainment, stuff like that. And I just got a job working for Clear Channel Radio in Eau Claire. And they're going to start me off just running the boards for football games and stuff. But we have talked about possibly some on-air experience, so if any listeners live in the Eau Claire area, the Mad Movie Man's coming to your town.
Oh, that is such good news. And of course, you're still contributing to Real Talk Reviews. You still have your Passport Cinema site. So you're really keeping yourself busy. But I'm glad you're not too busy to come back here and be a guest on Movie Addict Headquarters.
I'm always glad to come back.
Great. I'm glad to hear that. Well, why don't we start out on a positive note with these August DVDs? I actually thought it was a pretty good month for DVD releases, but why don't you tell us your picks for the best films released on DVD this month and why you enjoyed them?
Okay, like I had mentioned earlier in this email I sent to Betty Jo, I decided to do mine in a top five, bottom five format, so we'll be talking about the worst ones later on in the show.
Right.
Let me start out with the best, and my number five for the best is actually Street Kings, a cop movie with Keanu Reeves and Forrest Whitaker. It's got a really awesome cast, but what's surprising is that, you know, despite the flack Keanu Reeves has gotten over the years for not being like the most fleshed out of actors, he actually gives a pretty good performance here, and it's a much more morally ambiguous cop story then you kind of get used to, because it's about Keanu Reeves plays this police officer who's sort of part of this hush-hush unit of the LAPD that does whatever it takes to put the really, really bad guys in jail, and sometimes that means kind of fudging up the law. But it really is much more thought-provoking than you think, and it's just a flat-out entertaining movie. So
I haven't seen that one, and don't tell my friend Olivia Wilder, who also has a show, one of my favorite shows on Blog Talk Radio, because she and I are Keanu Reeves fans. I mean, we're big fans of Keanu Reeves, so I'm going to put that Street Kings on my list to be the next DVD that I watch, and I'm glad that you mentioned that Keanu gets a bad rap every once in a while, you know, that he's not really a serious actor. But I've seen him give some marvelous performances. One in A Walk in the Clouds. I thought he was very good in Speed. And I liked him in that film with Diane Keaton. I can't remember the title of it.
Oh, Something's Gotta Give?
Yeah, Something's Gotta Give. I thought he was very good in that. So, and The Matrix. I thought he was very good.
This fall, he'll be in the remake of The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Yes, I just saw the previews for that. I can't believe they're remaking that classic, but if Keanu Reeves is in it, I'm going to be there opening day. Okay, so Street Kings. Does that sound like something you'd like to see, Nikki?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
How do you feel about Keanu?
I am actually a huge fan. Yeah, huge.
All right. I like the way you think. What's number four, Adam?
My number four is the latest movie from David Mamet called Red Belt. It's set in the world of mixed martial arts, and it stars, and I am going to butcher his name beyond all recognition, Chiwetel Ejiofor, that great actor who's been in, like, tons of movies from Inside Man and Four Brothers to Melinda and Melinda and Serenity.
And Dirty Pretty Things.
Exactly. That was the one that just put him on the map.
Exactly.
And he plays, like, a jiu-jitsu master who has this very strict code. He doesn't use his skills in competition because he feels it weakens the fighter, and he uses his skills to teach others to achieve this sense of well-being. And then Hollywood comes calling to get his skills to lend an air of authenticity to their movies. But this being a Mamet movie, nothing is as it seems. And I'm not going to go into much more detail because part of the fun of the movie is figuring out where it's going to go.
Well, this is a surprise to me. David Mamet is usually noted for his heavy dialogue-based movies. And this is martial arts.
But it isn't your traditional one. It isn't like fight scene, fight scene, fight scene, fight scene. There's like a couple of little brawls here and there. Then at the end, there's sort of this. The fights are more symbolic than they are just to show off, hey, look what we can do. So they actually play a bigger part in the story instead of just kind of being there.
Well, good. Well, I'm putting that on my list, too. After I see Street Kings, I'm going to see Red Belt. Is that the name of it?
Yep. And it's definitely worth seeing just to see Tim Allen in a dramatic role.
You're kidding me.
Nope. It's a pretty small part, but he plays like this over-the-hill action movie star who kind of gets into a bar fight that Ejiofor's character saves him from. And it's a small role, but it's interesting to see him just kind of play things a lot more dramatic than he usually does.
Now, you're talking about the Tim Allen from Home Improvement.
Yep, Santa Claus.
At Santa Claus and the Wild Hogs.
Mm-hmm. That's the same old guy.
Well, I would like to see if he can do some drama. So that would be very interesting. Well, we've got we've got Street Kings. We've got Red Belt. Now, what's your number three DVD?
My number three pick is this delightful comedy called Miss Pettigrew Lives for a Day, featuring like two of the finest actresses working out there now. Frances McDormand as like this governess in World War II era Britain who gets kicked off of every job just because she is stubborn as stubborn can be. Then you got Amy Adams in there from Enchanted and Junebug as this very, very flighty actress who juggles all sorts of boyfriends, and Frances McDormand's character basically tries to help her out, and it's just a good, nice movie, and that's all I can really say about it. It's just a treat to watch and enjoy.
I am so glad that you put that on your list. I just saw it last night, and I had read the book, and I just, you know, laughed about every two or three pages. I laughed, and I could not see Frances McDormand in the part of Miss Pettigrew. And
really?
Then when I saw her in the, you know, in the movie last night on the DVD, I thought she was perfect. She
Absolutely.
Really carried that role, and she would look very, very befuddled about what was going on with this lounge singer who led this exciting life with three guys after her and going to parties, and she'd never done any of these kinds of things in her whole life, and she was just, you know, kind of taken into this whirlwind that Amy Adams's character was living. But she was befuddled and sort of odd, but then she was very down to earth in shaping up her charge, which happened to be Amy Adams's character and not any children, as she originally thought it would be. It was a very different type of film, and I thought it was, you know, just kind of fun fluff, but it was so entertaining. I'm really glad that you put that on the list. I would definitely recommend it. And that Lee Pace, that's the first movie I've seen him in, who played the boyfriend that played the piano.
Uh huh.
He did an excellent job. He's got quite charisma on the screen. He's the fella, Nicky, that plays the owner of the pie shop in Pushing Daisies, which is on one of these very popular new TV series. And the mark of a good actor is that they look different. They look different and they talk different, you know, in everything that you see. And I didn't recognize him at first. So watch for Lee Pace. I think he's a comer. Don't you, AJ?
Yeah, he definitely, out of the three actors playing the boyfriends, he definitely made the biggest impression on me. So, yeah, I'd say the kid's going places.
I think he is. And he's coming out in a DVD next month called The Fall, which is a fantasy. And I didn't see it on the big screen, so I'm really looking forward to seeing that next month. So, all right, what's number two on your best DVD list?
All right, number two, since I run a website devoted exclusively to foreign films, I had to put one on here somewhere, and that movie is this year's Oscar winner for Best Foreign Language Film, The Counterfeiters, which is a World War II drama about the biggest counterfeiting operation. Those these prisoners of war in this German internment camp who were assigned to the special unit to make counterfeit English pound bills and eventually American dollar bills to try and topple the economy for the Nazis. So, and it's a very intriguing movie, and it's not the usual sort of World War II movie because, for the most part, like, these prisoners live really comfortably, and very rarely do they see the horrors of war. But at the end, they definitely confront them and realize what's been really going on and how extremely lucky they've had it. But it's got some very, like, moral questions in there as to whether the characters should embark in this to stay alive or do something to fight them against the Nazi regime. And it's a very, very intriguing movie overall.
It is. It's intriguing and it's serious. And you still are left with a little bit of ambiguity at the end about whether or not the lead character did the right thing by collaborating with
yeah.
the Germans. And so it wasn't a cut and dried film, you know, where there were villains and there were heroes. But it was a wonderful character study, I thought. And I can see why it was very highly regarded and won an Oscar. So that brings us to, drum roll, please, your number one. Yeah. That's pretty good. We're gonna have to get Nikki to get us a drum roll.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to get that sound effect.
Right.
I can find it.
The drum roll and applause. Maybe you can get applause.
I can get that. Yep. I'll do
plus,
that.
we'll have to have that and add those on next time you're here, AJ. Mm-hmm. But, all right, we've had the drum roll. What is your number one August DVD pick?
My number one August DVD pick is one that I think will be on your list as well, and that is Smart People.
Yay! Applause, applause, applause. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Okay, let's talk about Smart People.
Yep, Smart People, it's a truly grown-up comedy. And whenever, like these days, usually when you think of adult comedy, you think of like one of these sex-crazed, like American Pie sequels that have sort of taken over and are usually go for more of the gross-out shock effect than the actual laughs or heart. But this is just a smart, funny, and intelligent movie that it doesn't like play by the rules and it doesn't like adhere to them, but it just kind of goes along on a realistic beat. You know, it just almost every frame of this movie just feels absolutely real and not sort of contrived. There's no easy solutions, but it's not like the movie is staunchly anti-mainstream, but it's just an overall delightful movie with a great cast.
Oh,
that do just a great job of making these characters who are essentially the biggest jerks you'll ever meet, but you still like them.
You're right, and it showed that sometimes the most highly intelligent individuals do the dumbest things, and to me, it was the best example that I've seen on screen of a dysfunctional relationship between a father and a daughter. And I thought Dennis Quaid, and by the way, people will not recognize him at first because he looks completely different with his beard and all, and he just transforms himself into the character of the self-absorbed English professor who knows everything about the subject he teaches but nothing about his students or his family. He doesn't even know the students' names. I just thought, my gosh, how did he ever become a professor? He would go to great lengths to get out of meeting with the students individually. And you just thought you wanted to tear your hair and think, my gosh, how can he continue in that profession? And Ellen Page, what a revelation as his overachieving 17-year-old daughter, who's just becoming just like him. And she went from Juno, from being, you know, a fairly outgoing person, and you know, in high school, to this more sophisticated role, but still her Juno character was smarter about people than the character that she played in Smart People. And I couldn't believe it when this character didn't even want to get called to the emergency room. She loved her father, but he was in an accident. But she gets called to the emergency room, and she's real upset because all she's worried about is studying for her SAT test. And you thought, oh, you just want to shake her. You definitely just wanted to shake her. So I was very happy, as I know you must have been, AJ, went into their lives, come Sarah Jessica Parker as the ER doctor, and Thomas Hayden Church as Dennis Quaid's down and out but more social adopted brother. And when they enter the lives of these of this family, I mean, a lot changes, and we feel a lot better when they do. Isn't that right?
Oh yeah, exactly. And the thing that I really admired about this movie is that, like, no matter who you looked at, like, none of the characters were ever, like, truly exaggerated. They were never, like, so cartoonishly unbelievable that you just didn't care for them or didn't buy into them. Every character, every actor just played their role to such just pitch perfect. Like, Dennis Quaid was a jerk, yeah, but you still kind of felt for him because of his wife dying, and yeah. He still just has all these things he's trying to get over. And Thomas Hayden Church, who, like, in lesser hands, he would just be a complete doofus, but he just seems like a genuinely nice, intelligent guy who just had a streak of rotten luck. You know,
right.
All these characters have just been depicted
well. They were definitely genuine. And I also like the way this movie just really hit home the point how important it is to communicate with those around us, and especially our loved ones, and warned us how being completely self-centered can mess up our lives and we'll miss out on some of the most important things in life. I can't recommend this highly enough. In fact, I did put on the site a DVD cover of Smart People, so listeners can click on that, and it will take them right over to Amazon.com where they can order the DVD, and I don't think that they would be sorry to order that. And I think we have a call, so I'm going to see if I can get this person. I think it might be Jazz. Hello, is this Jazz?
Hi, Betty Jo, it is. Hi, how are you?
Well, I'm so glad to hear from you. And we have, of course, Mad Movie Man A.J. Hockery here. And
I think I talked to A.J. before. How are you?
That's what I was thinking that you did. So do you have some questions or some DVDs that you'd like to recommend, Jazz?
Yeah, one of each. And one of them is about how many DVDs are released on a monthly basis. And that's something I was discussing with Nikki in chat about and the other people in there, because I really don't seem to get access to the latest ones except what shows up on Netflix under their latest release, and they don't have, like, everything. Because you're talking about a number of films, and I didn't even know they were out on DVD yet.
Can you answer that, AJ?
I'm not really sure. The site that I usually go to is comingsoon.net. They usually have a pretty decent rundown of the most major ones plus some of the smaller ones. But I definitely go with Amazon. Amazon usually has a pretty healthy list of like what's coming out that week, be it a big movie or like a small art house one. So currently I work in a video store. I'm going to be leaving at the end of the week. So every month we get a list of like what we're getting, how much we're going to get. And it's like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that was coming out. So it's usually a big, good surprise to see what, and the amount of copies that we're getting too.
The one that I saw coming out in August, and I actually already got it, and I was never even saw it come out in the theaters. It came out in Netflix in August. I don't know when it was originally released, so maybe you guys can correct me, but it was Winona Ryder's last film, apparently, from late 2007, called Sex and Death 101.
Wow, I haven't heard of that. Have you, AJ?
Yeah, we actually got that at the store that I work at, but I haven't got around to watching it.
Oh, it was a really great film. I was shocked because it looked like it was going to be so cheesy, and it was a great plot. And the acting was fantastic. The cinematography was good. It was just very, very funny. And I enjoyed it a lot.
Well, thanks for giving us that recommendation, because I hadn't even heard of that. And I try to put a list on the Real Talk site about what's coming up. But I stopped doing that because there were so many changes in the dates. And it usually was not a complete list, you know, I'd keep hearing, well, here comes another one that's out. So
yeah, I only watched it just this week, and I got to tell you, it's definitely, you know, worth a rental for anybody, in my opinion. It does have a little bit of adult content. I would not recommend it for people with small children and some language and things like that, but a very funny film.
Well, I'm definitely going to put that on my list, and I had picked five DVDs that I thought were my top, but I didn't rank them in any order, but these were the ones that I thought were the most fun to watch and the most interesting. And of course, Smart People was definitely among my five, but I liked what's coming out today and is getting quite a bit of publicity, What Happens in Vegas with Ashton Kutcher and Cameron Diaz. And did you hear AJ get a moan on that? And I did not think I would like it, but it was really very, very funny. And I haven't liked too many romantic comedies that have been coming out lately, but Kutcher and Diaz, they just had so much chemistry together, and the plot was interesting about how they were trying to undermine each other after a wedding in Las Vegas that they don't remember, and the judge tries to get them to live together instead of granting them a divorce, and then everything that they go through to undermine each other because there's a jackpot, $1 million jackpot that's won, that they're having some difficulty deciding over who that money belongs to. And
it just looked like kind of a chick flick.
Well, my husband liked it, so I don't know. I think he might have even liked it, but he's a fan of Cameron Diaz, so that could explain it. And then this one you may not have heard of. It's called The Search for John Gissing. Have you heard of that, Jazz?
No, that name doesn't even
ring. I
recall that even coming to the theaters.
No, I don't think it did, or maybe to some art shows, but it art theaters. But it is just great, and it's written and directed by Mike Binder, and I didn't even know that he acted, but he starred in it. And it's got that wonderful Alan Rickman and Janine Garofalo, and it's a hilarious comedy about what happens when a British business executive tries to sabotage an American who's been hired to take over his job. And of course, Alan Rickman plays that sarcastic, snarky British business executive like no one else could play a role like that. He's just...
He sold me, because I love Janine Garofalo.
And she is wonderful. She plays the wife of Mike Binder's character, and she's so unhappy that she has to move to England because she has to give up her goal to be a tap dancer. I can't imagine Janine Garofalo as a tap dancer, but sure enough, they work tap dancing into this movie in such a way that it really pleased an old hoofer like me, because you don't see tap dancing in movies too much. So that's The Search for John Gissing. That was on my list. And then I liked another one that probably no one has heard of. It's called Frank, Simply Frank. And it's about a, not Simply Frank, it's just called Frank. And Frank is the name of this ugly pooch who is responsible for bringing a family together. And the big thing about it is that he has to win over the father of the family. And the father of the family is an obsessive compulsive guy who can't stand doggy drool and seems to be allergic to everything. So that's where the plot lies, is the relationship that develops between these two, well, dog, between dog and man. And for you, AJ, while watching Frank, I was reminded of A Christmas Story. And I know that's one of your all-time favorite films, but this film had the same feel to it as that movie did. And the youngster that played the little boy who wanted to keep the dog even looks a little bit like Sherman Billingsley's Ralphie in A Christmas Story.
Oh, the Peter Billingsley.
Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. Peter Billingsley's Ralphie. And he wants to keep that dog with the same kind of fervor that Ralphie showed for his Red Ryder BB gun. So look for Frank. I think that's a movie that's wonderful. Of course, I'm a sucker for dog stories anyway. And my last one, I know that AJ is not going to agree with, but I'm
here. Oh, no. Here it comes.
Here it comes. And it is... I'm afraid to say it. Get it over with. Hannah Montana and Miley Cyrus, Best of Both Worlds concert.
Okay, I normally, and this is no exception, I keep Netflix open on my laptop during your show all the time, and I just added several movies in, but Betty Jo, we finally hit a wall. There is one that I cannot put in my Netflix queue. I'm sorry.
That is not one. Well, I don't think...
Okay, wait. I have to cut in here. I'm so sorry. What, did you really just say Hannah Montana?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. You guys, how cute is that? It's adorable.
Like Hannah Montana, don't you, Nikki?
Yes, I have Hannah Montana bracelets. Come on.
Well,
yes.
And I absolutely thought that she Miley Cyrus was adorable, both as Hannah Montana and herself in this movie. And I admired her enthusiasm. I thought that she just worked her fans just so well. I loved the backstage banter between Miley and her father. I thought that when she, as Miley, did this number called Let's Dance, I thought it was just perfect and that her musicality just really showed through. So thank you, Nikki, for being on my side.
In all honesty, though, could you see Jazz or AJ watching that movie?
Well, it would be a stretch.
Okay, there. See,
it would be a stretch. I guess we can give them that. Well, we ought to go then. That should lead us into the worst DVDs of August. Okay. So, AJ, do you want to chime in on that?
All right, let's. I know we only have like 45 minutes for the show, right?
Right. So.
Yeah, I'm gonna make this fairly quick once we only have so much time. Number five is a pretty small one called Watching the Detectives.
What is that called?
Watching the Detectives.
What?
Got Lucy Liu and Cillian Murphy Sunshine and Red Eye.
Yeah.
And Cillian Murphy plays this owner of like this small independent video store, and Lucy Liu comes in and just like shakes up his life big time. And the thing I kind of dislike most about this is that it's another one of those movies that does not get what it's like to be a movie geek.
Okay.
It just kind of has him like sitting around and then just occasionally throw out a movie reference in everyday dialogue. And it's like, no, we don't do that. Like, I don't go about my everyday life just randomly saying movie stuff.
Well, I do, but that's okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. And it just kind of got tiring because all the things that Lucy Liu does to try and perk up his life just make her seem like a big fat jerk.
Well,
and yet she's supposed to be the good guy.
And that's your number five.
That's my number five.
Okay, number four.
All right, my number four is Prom Night, which is a PG-13 slasher movie, which is kind of like having a musical where nobody sings, is the best way I can put it.
I love that, AJ.
like slashers and R ratings go with like peanut butter and chocolate, and when you take away that, you just like lost all the flavor out of it, and it's just a really, really dull wannabe scary movie. Did not frighten
it's
me.
A, it's a pornographic film with everyone in full Elizabethan dress.
Yeah, yeah, like beekeeper's outfits.
Okay. Well, I liked it. I was frightened, but I frightened easily. And I thought it had one of the most dedicated killers that I've seen on the screen for a while. But anyway, number three.
All right. Number three is the one you just talked about, Hannah Montana.
Oh.
Which is... which I described in my review as part of Disney's Orwellian scheme to dominate the minds of kids everywhere with phony bubblegum pop music that just makes me want to puke.
You know, Nikki, some people just have no class. Okay, number two.
We have class, right. Just low.
All right, my number two one is this one that also comes out on DVD today called Postal.
Postal.
It's based off of another video game. It's from the notorious Uwe Boll, who's done, like, tons of video game adaptations, Blood Rain, House of the Dead, and Alone in the Dark.
Oh, dear God.
And, yeah, I don't know how – are you familiar at all with, like, this internet phenomenon about, like, being against Uwe Boll?
Yes, I think I started it, but anyway.
Yeah, there seriously is a petition out there online to get him to stop making movies. And if it hits a million, he says he'll do it. It's at, like, 300,000-some now.
Oh, dear.
And this is the latest one, and – this is the one that actually disappointed me, because his other movies have been bad, but I expect them to be bad, but this one sort of aims to be like this really offbeat, off-the-wall satire, and I'm like, okay, this might be the one that Uwe Boll knocks out of the park, but no, it's just a dreadfully unfunny movie, and the further it goes on, the more classless it gets, and the more gross it gets, and it's just not funny. It's like watching a train wreck. You just can't keep your eyes off it, but you want to look away.
And the name of it is Postal.
Postal.
Okay, we'll avoid that. And
I'm
number one.
That
my Netflix list, yep.
All right, my number one worst is Starship Troopers 3 Marauder, which just gives even more of a bad name to direct-to-DVD movies. Like, the effects are bad, the dialogue is horrible, the acting is some of the worst I've ever seen in my life. And it's the epitome of studios that just turn out straight-to-DVD sequels to movies that were kind of popular for their time, but they just give even less, they just don't care as much about them. And it's obvious this was just made to make money, and it is just a big waste of time to not entertain me at all.
Yeah, well, so the original Starship Troopers was so bad, too.
But it was so bad, it was awesome. Just so over the top, so goofy, and it actually was technically well made.
It
here
has
you kind
creatures.
Of have. Yeah, the creatures were awesome there, but here it's just like you see them, like actors fall down and then get trampled by CG beasties to no effect whatsoever. It's like they're being hit by air.
Well, I'm glad I missed that one. I really am, and thank you for the giving us the movies to avoid, except for Hannah Montana. I think we should find out from Nikki. Nikki, is there anything from our wonderful chat people that you'd like to bring up?
Well, I think Demos is in there, and he's talking about Hellraisers. And that he loves Starship Troopers 1 and 2, but I told him no, AJ the movie man said he cannot see 3. So, yes. And we were talking older videos, too. So we were talking Pan's Labyrinth and things like that. I think a lot of us just don't get a chance to rent the DVDs the month they come out, so I'm a little bit behind from y'all. But I
yeah,
definitely
I'm
know.
And the busy, busy people, too, who don't get to. But I always trust to AJ to give us the scoop on the DVDs because I think he sees more DVDs than anyone that that I know of. So we really appreciate you coming in today and telling us about all these August DVDs. Are there any DVDs coming out in September that you're looking forward to, AJ?
Yep, I picked out 5 that I'm looking forward to. Just go through them quickly. One is called Death Note. It's a live-action adaptation of a Japanese anime that was really popular and just kind of looks like a very creepy premise. Like, there's this notebook where if you put someone's name in it, they die. And, of course,
ooh,
that just hooks me right away.
All right.
All right. The next one is Married Life, which has Pierce Brosnan, Chris Cooper, and Rachel McAdams. I love those period pieces.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds great. Married Life. Okay.
Yep, and there's one called Pathology, this very creepy-looking medical thriller from the guys that did Crank.
Yeah.
Recycle, the latest movie from the Pang brothers, who did the original version of The Eye, and the good version of The Eye, not the very, very awful Jessica Alba version.
Oh,
and also Young at Heart, this documentary about senior citizens singing like modern songs. It just looks like an absolute treat. So those are the five that I'm most looking forward to next month.
Those sound great. Young at Heart, Married Life, Death Notes, Pathology,
yep,
and Recycled.
Yeah,
those
Recycled
sound great. I'm looking forward to, as I mentioned before, The Fall with Lee Pace, who's my newest find in terms of the leading men. And I'm also looking forward to Then She Found Me, which I think comes out the first part of September, starring Helen Hunt and Matthew Broderick and Colin Firth.
Firth.
Oh, yes. How in the world could I forget that name? Be Still My Heart, and also Bette Midler, and I believe that Helen Hunt also directed it. So September looks like a pretty good month for movie DVDs also.
That, and you got Iron Man coming out at the end of the month.
Iron Man, well, we'll all want to see that again.
Yes.
I mean, definitely.
I'll be buying that one.
Absolutely. Well, we all will. That's probably going to be one of the most successful movies, I think, of the year. So I have just enjoyed this so much. I can't believe it always happens at the end of the show. I just can't believe that the time is almost over. And AJ, you've just outdone yourself today. You've just really, really given us a lot to think about. And I want to thank you so much for being such a fun guest as always. Will you be sure to come back again soon?
Absolutely. I'm here when you need me, Betty Jo. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome, and best of luck with all your new exciting projects. This
Thank
is
you.
Betty Jo Tucker giving a big shout-out to the folks at Blog Talk Radio for all their support in connection with this show. Special thanks to Nikki Starr for everything she does to make Movie Addict Headquarters happen, and to A.J. Hockery for sharing his interesting opinions with us, and as always to Jazz Shaw for calling in with his interesting opinions and recommendations. Thanks to everyone who listened live or to the archives or participated in the chat. We really appreciate your participation. And remember, dear listeners, beware of identity theft, the fastest growing crime in America, for it can make your life seem worse than a horror movie, even worse than prom night. Be smart and protect yourself by going to lifelock.com, that's LifeLock.com, and signing up for their services. You'll receive a 10% discount if you use our special code, which is REALTALK, and that's REELTALK. It's all one word. Please come back next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time for another lively discussion about movies. In the meantime, check out our film reviews at realtalkreviews.com. That's R-E-E-L, realtalkreviews.com. That's where you'll find reviews by The Mad Movie Man and many other fine film critics. Now, to close the show, here's A.J. Daniels with a song Nikki and I dedicate to all our loyal Blog Talk Radio listeners.
much I love you, then you'd be forced to love me too. If you knew how much I adore you, you'd stay with me and be true.